And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. If you follow Opus in the Sunday Funnies, you know that the comic strip often aims at political and cultural targets. The strip's creator does not shy away from controversy, which helps explain why some readers were upset when two recent strips were pulled. Editors worried that the readers might find them offensive. Most of the controversy focused on the August 26th strip. It featured Lola Granola, who's a regular character, explaining that she'd become a radical Islamist. Hot new fad on the planet, she says. The Washington Post was one of the two dozen or so newspapers that killed Opus that day, and one of a handful that pulled a follow-up strip as well. In yesterday's editions of the paper, the Post's ombudsman, Deborah Howell, explained how and why that decision was made, and she joins us now from a studio at the newspaper. And thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And for anybody who wants to see the Opus cartoons we're talking about, we've posted a link on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. And if you have questions about the decision to kill these cartoons, you can also join us by phone, 800-989-8255, or by email, talk@npr.org. And Deborah, you've seen both of these cartoons. Do you agree that the Post made a wise decision?
No, I said they overreacted, that editors overreacted. I would have printed both of them. Mm-hmm. I thought they were both very funny.
And overreacted, why?
The Post edits cartoons like it edits everything in the newspaper. And from time to time, cartoons do get killed. And they get killed usually because the top editors think they will offend some readers. Mm-hmm. And so they thought this one could offend Muslim readers.
It's difficult to explain comic strips on the radio, but I wonder if you could briefly describe what anybody might have found controversial about them.
Well, Lola Granola, you know, the perpetual spiritual seeker, is dressed in sort of a hippy-dippy burqa, not the kind of a burqa a Muslim woman would wear, but, you know, like I say, kind of hippie. And she's into this new world of being a radical Islamist, not knowing, of course, what it means. And when you read the strip, you know that she is, well, a flake.
A flake, yeah. Well, we knew that to begin with.
Yeah, and her boyfriend, Steve Dallas, who is a male chauvinist pig, uber patriot kind of guy, is like, oh, my God, what is this? But when she says, well, that she would not resist having the man be the boss. He likes what he hears. But then she says there's a lot of things that he wouldn't be getting anymore. And he says, like what? And she says, God willing. Well, the implication is there's not going to be any more sex for Steve Dallas. And I found the whole thing very funny. The Berkeley Breathitt, who draws the cartoon, is an excellent artist. And so the characters' expressions and how they interact was, I thought, very funny. Now, I totally accept the fact that editors edit cartoons, but I just think that this was worth running.
We're talking with Deborah Howell, the ombudsman at the Washington Post, on the opinion page this week. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And you're convinced. You're convinced, Deborah Howell, that this decision was made on the basis of fear of offending readers, as opposed to, we all of course remember the controversy over the Danish cartoons of Muhammad. I guess there's another controversy underway in Sweden.
This is totally different. The Danish cartoons were making fun of the Prophet Muhammad. It would be like cartoons making fun of Jesus Christ, and I think that their decision to not run the cartoons was a wise one. But this is a comic strip, and it wasn't making fun of Islam. It wasn't making fun of the Prophet. It was making fun of Lola Granola and Steve Dallas. And so I see that as totally different decisions.
Let's see if we get a caller in on the conversation. This is Jennifer. Jennifer's with us from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am what some people might consider to be quote-unquote conservative Muslim myself. I wear a headscarf, obviously not a burqa, because pretty much nobody wears burqas outside of Afghanistan. Neither I nor any other Muslim I know found the cartoon offensive, and we thought it was a little strange that the Washington Post claimed that they had determined it to be potentially offensive after, in one article I read, speaking with a Muslim staff member, because the cartoon was not addressing anything, related to Muslims in general. As I said, nobody wears burqas outside of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
It's referring to radical Muslims as something that most, regular Muslims are not radical Muslims. The sexual humor part was quite funny. I will give them that. But I've noticed that a lot of the talk about this strip, aside from the Washington Post claiming that it was a Muslim staff member who, thought that it might be offensive, is that, most of the talk about this has focused on speculating about Muslims and whether or not we might find it offensive, and not actually talking to Muslims and finding out if we think this is offensive or, speaking to, you guys don't even have a Muslim guest on. and there have been Muslim organizations that have spoken out in defense of this cartoon and have said, hey, we don't have any problem with this. What are you afraid of? It's not like Muslims in America had any violent reaction to the Danish cartoons. We were offended, by something. We have freedom of speech in this country. We
sure.
write letters. We call the media, like I'm doing now. So, it's not an issue, and I'm really baffled as to why the Washington Post came up with this idea that.
Well, as is Deborah Howell, and as I understand it, the newspapers that did run it, they got what, one or two complaints?
There were very few complaints around the nation. Papers that ran them often got no reaction. I found two complaints at two papers.
Hmm. Thanks very much for the call, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more caller, and this is going to be Andrew. Andrew with us from Salt Lake City.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I'm a huge advocate of free speech, but I think that we really have to realize that, you look at what happened in Denmark, and maybe there haven't been complaints about this cartoon specifically, but when you're dealing with, and I do not mean to sound prejudiced, a volatile group of people, you really have to maybe say, maybe freedom of speech in all cases is not the best thing if it's going to potentially cause, harm on people.
Mm. Thanks very much for that. Again, Deborah Howell said that according to the people she talked to, the people who made the decisions, that wasn't the basis of this decision. But I wonder, Deborah Howell, the curiosity is, and we just have a few seconds left, the Washington Post also distributes that strip, so it sent the strip out to other newspapers so they could make up their own minds.
That's correct, and they let them know that there might be some controversy over it when they sent out the strips. And I think it is odd. The publisher approved the distribution.
But
Bo
not
Jones.
The publishing it.
But no, it was fine with him if it was published in the Washington Post. The decision was made by top editors, Len Downey and some of his top editors.
Deborah Howell, thanks very much. Deborah
Thank
Howell
you.
Serves as ombudsman for the Washington Post. You can read her take on the newspaper's decision at our website, npr.org. This is NPR News.